We're in the middle of chapter 29. On page Lamed Bob. And we're speaking about how a person's got to make a cheshbon tzedek, how he's got to face himself and be a master of accounts. For the purpose of breaking himself, as it were. In other words, it's natural for a person to, how should I put it? I'm okay. And as long as a person has that, I'm okay, he's not open for anything new. And that's what we said, that's how the Alter Rebbe started. When a person can't get the energy to start new things in spirituality, he's got, that's what's called Timtum HaLev, Timtum HaMoach, the deadness, the insensitivity of the heart, the sensitivity of the brain. He's got to break himself. So when you break yourself, there's a classic Hasidic word. There's nothing straighter than a broken heart. There's nothing more wholesome than a broken heart. There's some, when a person is capable of feeling true contriteness, his heart is open. He's willing to see spirituality, which he wouldn't otherwise. Now, how do we break ourselves? That's the subject we're speaking about. And the first thing that is saying, this is where we got caught up a little bit last week, is that there's a person's I. For the Beinoni, what's that I? Nefesh Bahamas. His animal soul. And therefore that's what's got to be broken. We're in the middle here about that's where we're going to start. It's about the mamash, the middle of the page. We're going to, in other words, for a tzaddik, as we're going to say, his I is his godly soul. So the tzaddik doesn't have to break himself, or at least at one level he doesn't. But later on, you know, in other places you'll see even the tzaddik has to break himself. But basically the tzaddik is fine because his I is his godly soul. But my I isn't my godly soul. When I feel myself, what I'm sensitive to, what moves me are things that make me happy, make me feel good in a very basic animalistic way. Now, there's nothing so terrible about that. But you also have to recognize what that is. And that's what we're talking about here. She says, that's the I that has to be broken in the Beinoni. As opposed to, we'll start from here. The Aleph Nefesh Elokish Shebo, about four lines above the Yud Aleph, if you have it. Nefesh Elokish Shebo, about the godly soul within him, Nemar, Neshamash Netatabi Tahorehi. It said about it, the soul which you gave me is pure. She says, Netatabi Daika, you placed it in me. In other words, you get that isn't me. It's something which is inside of me. In other words, a person has two different sensitivities. He has his I, and then he has his spiritual unconscious, as it were. the godly soul. That's not who he is. It's something placed inside of him. From this we can understand, says, if the soul is placed inside of me, we can understand from this that the person himself is not this pure soul. Tzaddikim, on contrast, it's the other way around. A tzaddik, his godly soul, that's who the person is. And his flesh is called the flesh of man. He's the man, and the godly, and the body is the flesh of man. Here's an example. Karmah hilu zochem talmidov kashohoyo lecho leomer shuolehu mochesed maluva vaniya. As Hillel told his students when he went to eat, he says, I'm going to be kind to a poor and sad person. Who's this poor and sad person? His body. I'm my godly soul. Hey, but there's this poor and sad person, to put it hungry, I gotta feed him, so I'll go eat. In other words, he looks at himself, he's identified with his godly soul. My godly soul happens to be lodged in a body, so I gotta take care of that poor and sad person. So, this is Gufo, this is his body. Kamozor nechshav etzlo, because his body was like a foreign person to him. Somebody different. Lochan omer, omer shukomer chesed imbo. Therefore he says, I'm going to do kindness to it. In other words, he doesn't identify with his body and his physical needs. B'mashe shemachilo, in what he feeds it. To ask my anal and nefesh lekis levad, because he himself is identified only with his godly soul. He levad the machaya gufo b'saro, because it alone is what brings life to his body and his flesh. Sharash b'nefesh lekis mulesh b'dom b'saro nefesh l'tov. Because the evil which was in his animal soul, his vital soul, which was enclosed in his body and his flesh, was transformed to good. And included in the actual godly, in the holiness of the godly soul, the tzaddikim, in tzaddikim, that's what it is. In other words, you say, Hashem Elokecha b'chol levecha. You shall love God with all your heart. With all your heart is written not with one days, but with two. And so the sages say, well, what is the two bases? With all your hearts. That even the Nefesh Bahamis, or the Yetzer Hara in Talmudic terminology, should come to love God. Now most of us aren't able to do that. That's a tzaddik level. A tzaddik, even his animal soul, even his natural tendencies, are directed to godliness. That's why, b'chol levecha, with both your hearts, as it were, even his animal soul loves God. Tzaddik has transformed himself to that degree. With a beinoni, and an ordinary person, the akasha mahus. Since the essence of the animal, the vital soul, the animal soul from the Sitra Acha, which is enclosed in his body and his flesh, was not transformed to good, this is the person. In other words, in chapter 13, He spoke about a person who's learning and studying all day, but he still has an animal soul. It's just like a sleep, or it was mentioned last week, like the cat. some of us train ourselves pretty well, and we learn, we daven, our day is filled with holiness. But who's the person? The animal soul. Yes, I've worked on my animal soul to the point where I'm in control. That happens. But where is the person, what makes the person kick? That gives him real chayas. That's, in a beni, it's basically, he's got his physicality is still there, and he's got to deal with it. Yim kein, hu rochok mehashem betachlis harichu. If so, this person is separate from God in the ultimate sense. What do we mean? It's a classic example. It's actually brought down and put the Torah there. See the Yom Kippur Bible if you look at it. Nothing can be really separate from God. God's everywhere. How is a person separate from God? So there the author never says. It's like two people standing back to back. Are they close? They're back to back. Are they far? Miles apart. When a person is interested in his own physical things, this is what makes him tick. This is what gives him pleasure. He's just not in the same world as Elokus. It's a totally different ballgame. This is when I start in chapter 1 in Tanya, this is one of the points to bring out in chapter 1 and chapter 6. Generally, Jewish conception was there's good, you do mitzvahs. And then there's bad, there's sins. And then there's reshus, permitted things. You're eating a meal, you made your bracha beforehand, you're going to make your bracha afterwards, you paid your dues, let's go, live, have a good time. Yochadetta says, no. That's the opposite, that's the total, the person is living his life without God. You know, is the faculty here? What? Yeah. Okay. Your Sunday afternoon dry. Go for barbecue. South Africans go out for a barbecue Sunday afternoon. It's like in Cape Town, almost everybody does so. You go find it. Cape Town is probably the most beautiful city in the world, quite seriously. You know, I haven't been all over the world, but Cape Town is easily up there. And you go find a place by the seashore with a view of the mountain. You make a couple of families together, barbecue some nice meat. Now, are you doing anything bad? No. If the meat is kosher, you made a bracha before, you made a bracha afterwards, you're covered, even up he did. Are you doing anything for the service of God? Well, you can be. But there has to be a real positive intent there. And if you're not, you turned your back on him. It's a very beautiful place, a very nice setting, you know, but are you doing it for his sake, or are you doing it for not? You know, in this, I'm dating myself, but in the 60s, there was a classic American expression. If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. Any thoughts on that? That's very much the ultimate of the strength. Either you're doing something for God, and doing something for God can be in a full circle of human experience. Torah doesn't tell you to live an ascetic hermit-like existence. Quite the contrary. As people look at Hoseas chapter 3, I'll say it again, important thing to check out. If you're doing it just for your own satisfaction, you're separate from God. At that point, it's my I which is involved, not God. Nothing bad. You made a bracha beforehand, you made a bracha afterwards. Not bad. Like I said, the classic view of even Judaism of evil is the sinister guy with his pitchfork. No, here we're not talking about doing bad, raping, killing, stealing. You're just not living for God. So, this is the very opposite. And it shows why. Shekof metavish v'nach v'hamis yochul l'tavu gantin l'tavu l'zorei masurim shem yegim etzonius borach. That for his power of desire and his animal soul can desire forbidden things which are against God's will. The Avshen and Metabu Asos and Bepoel Mamish, even when he doesn't actually plan to do them, he's not thinking of doing them actually. Lakshen and Musim Asobam is Katsadikim, the Commotion's file, they're just not disgusted by him. He's kind of disgust and hate. Story Gemara. Rabbi Akiva was known as Rabbi Akiva. Even the Romans knew about him. The wife of the Roman governor of Israel, his name was Turnus Rufus. She was a very beautiful woman, and she heard about this Rabbi Akiva, and she said, "Well, show that he's just nothing so special." And she came to his door, never heard this. And fully expecting that Rabbi Akiva will do whatever other man does when he sees a beautiful woman in a breakfast suit. And Rabbi Akiva turned around and started crying. And she looks at him in a kind of this is your reaction? No, you're not a man? I'm not crying because I'm not a man. I'm crying because so much beauty in such ugliness. How you've taken so much beauty and you've perverted it. And she was very embarrassed. She actually went, converted, studied, later became Rabbi Akiva's wife.
All along.
I hope that's not the case. But a tzaddik looks at evil and is disgusted. Another person, you won't necessarily do it, but he's not disgusted. And the very fact that you can look at something evil and not be disgusted shows you're not with the Eibishter. And that's a reason to feel tremendously broken up. He had something?
How many wives did Rabbi Akiva have?
He had one wife and she passed away. And then he married this other one. According to, in Tamil times she could have two wives also, but he didn't have them simultaneously. Yeah, she was a very special woman, but she was. Okay. Ubezer, in this fact that you can have thoughts like that, you could look at physical objects and physical things with desire, even if you're not going to do that. Ugaru Mashukas Matu of Yosin Barakhayamat May Mishkotsing Lamarshan Kanal. In this, you're worse, more disgusting, and more abominable than non kosher animals and crawling animals and teeming animals, as explained above. Here, it's, you look at it in chapter 24. He's saying it's very simple. Forget this. The Alter Rebbe was given 20 questions in his interrogation from the Peskislev. They gave him 20 questions to ask, to answer. And he answered the first 19, tremendous depth. The 20th question was, it says in Tanya that a Gentile is on a lower level than a non-kosher animal. How is that not something terrible to all mankind, or something like that? And the Alter Rebbe just smiled. And the Russian said, is that an answer? So listen, he explained everything else to us perfectly. Don't you think he can explain this as well? And do you really want to know why and how you're lower than a cow? No, you're not lower than a kosher. You're lower than a kosher.
Lower than a kosher.
Yeah. You really want to know. So, but in this case, say a person who has the ability to think of something non-kosher is lower than even a non-kosher animal. Why? Very simple. Non kosher animal. He's just doing what he's created to do. No choice. He's what he is. Nothing bad about being what you are. You are what you are. When a person sins, or even thinks of sinning, what has he done? He's perverted something. He had a tremendous potential to be good, and he's not using it. The animal never did. He's going again. In other words, he's doing something against his nature. That the animal didn't do, and therefore is lower than them. It says there in chapter 24. And therefore, King David says, I need to last below each. I'm a worm, and I'm not a man. In other words, a man is a person who rules over himself, and I'm not. And you'll say, well, occasionally I have these spiritual heights. And you'll say, well, but look, occasionally I'm aroused to daven. I have spiritual feelings in the middle of davening. Look, it's not really true. It's not really genuine. How do I know? Because why do you have to daven? They go away. Or an hour after davening. In other words, don't look at your spiritual feelings as something you can justify yourself with, because they're not genuine. They don't last. B'frat, yishkatumis napsha b'chatas nurim. In particular, when he'll remember the impurity of his soul, chatas nurim means the sins of the youth. Sins of the youth refer basically to male things, forbidden masturbation, forbidden release of seed. Right. the pagam shasibal yonim, and the blemish that created in the higher spiritual realm. The shom hu lamala me'azman. And there, in the higher spiritual realms, the sin is above time. And it's if you make that blemish and you made yourself impure today. Well, you say, he's already done, I've already done proper tshuva. I've asked God for forgiveness. For ikra tshuva v'lev. Tshuva is fundamentally in the heart. V'lev yesh bo b'chinas madregas rabbas. And the heart has many different levels. V'kol v'fi mashu adam. It all depends on who you are as a person, if there's man v'makom, and according to the place and to the time and the place, kedulin in the yodim, as is one known to people who are familiar with these matters. What are we saying? On Yom Kippur, is it before Yom Kippur starts, you say vidui. Then Ma'ariv, what happens? You say vidui again. Okay, so well, this wasn't Yom Kippur. Now it's Yom Kippur. What is Shacharis? Another vidui. Musa, another vidui. Mincha. I mean, how many times? So what the Alter Rebbe is saying here and explains greater depth in the Yom Kippur, in the Sefer Yom Kippur, there's levels within the soul. And so if I've said vidu on one level, that's fine. But if I'm lifted up suddenly to a higher level, I have a deeper awareness. So wait, I have a deeper awareness, that means the regret that I had for my separation isn't as complete. So you need a higher level of tshuva. And as he says here, Lochim Aksha B'Shah Zushua B'Achmed L'Sar Fein Ha'or Nishmasa. Therefore, when a person sees that in the light of his soul is not shining within him, we can see that today his tshuva wasn't accepted. He's on a higher level, so the tshuva which he did yesterday isn't sufficient for his level today. And his sins separate between him and God. Or God wants to lift him up to a higher level of tshuva, that he should reach a deeper level in the heart. Therefore, King David says, my sins are in front of me at all times. In other words, sin is something, and mitzvahs also for that matter, but anything that a person does, I mean, let's take a side concept for a sec, for a while. The afterlife. How people have, you know, what is this, what is the afterlife? You're going to sit in Gan Eden, like you're going to go to Miami with the palm trees and the beach. And your head is, you know, ice and fire and hell and brimstone, and guys poking at you with daggers. What is it? Because it explains very simple. The afterlife is what you are. Your life, everything that you do, we do now, we live in a continuum of time and space. But time and space are really features of this world. the higher spiritual realms don't have time and space. Just like they don't have space as we know it. They have time as we know it. So every word of Torah that I've learned is there forever. Every mitzvah that I've done is there forever. But that's the good side. The rest of the stuff is also there forever.
The threat of death washes away?
No. Mitigates to a certain degree. That's what Gehenna is all about. The pain and suffering. What is sin? Sin is separation. Sin means, like we said, I've turned my back to him. I've put a block preventing my connection to him. So, in this physical world, we don't see, we don't feel spiritual things so powerfully. So, you know, it doesn't matter. In the spiritual, when we leave the body behind, and you see, and the world is just spiritual truth, and that sin, separation, block preventing my connection to God exists, can you imagine the pain the soul feels? And the shame the soul feels? That's the pains of Gehenna. It's just your life. And all the good that you've done is there. But the bad is also there, and you get rid of it through the pain and the suffering from feeling that separation. So that's what he's saying here.
Is that going to be forever?
No, you get rid of it. The pain is...
No, there's no, like, measurements. No time, no space, so...
Yeah, but... Well, there's time and space, not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. And the pain of the soul gets rid of that. But, you know, you can get rid of it now through tshuva. That's, you know, but the tshuva's got to be... Again, that's what we're speaking here. That the tshuva goes through levels. And as you increase your awareness, there's required a deeper level of tshuva. Gilgul?
Well,
because sometimes Gilgul is not so much to purify, but to perform your mission. But the soul is in order to perform its mission, it's got to go through the challenges which its previous lifetime created for it, or not. But it's not. But purifying the soul is done basically in the afterlife. Not like, but you face things here also. Recycled souls. So, again, what we're doing here, the Alter Rebbe says you have to break yourself. And he's giving us enough food for thought, you know, that we take sincerely what it means to be separate from God, to be distant from him, and how that can cause us to break yourself. Okay, so what if a person didn't, a person is pure and he hasn't involved himself in the sins of youth, he should take upon his heart to fulfill the Zohar to be a master of accounts. Two short stories here. The Tzemach Tzedek was once, he saw two of his sons learning, studying a particular Gemara, and they mentioned that one of them a portion of the Gemara, and the Tzemach Tzedek, he said, corrected their they didn't quite understand ShopRite. And someone said, I haven't seen that Mefarish in 38 years. And so, his sons later, when they tell the story, said, we're not, the Senator said, remembered something 38 years ago. He's a Rebbe, he's a tzaddik. What else do you expect? But what's interesting, what got them was that he was able to review his thoughts and know that he hadn't seen this particular flourish in 38 years. In other words, he knew what he'd been doing for 38 years. Another story, that's a tzaddik. One of the famous Hasidim in the previous generation, Richard Massman. He's a guy we'll talk about that for Ben Minute, because he's a special person. Richard Masmig is Richard Masmig, and Yitzchak, the Masmig, the diligent one. He studied and studied and studied. At night he studied with his fingers up like this. So if he goes off, he slept very little. Was just studied. Anyway, he was once leading for Brengen, and in the middle of the Brengen, he says, "You gotta get out of here. This place is he's coming." And he left. See them checked up. After they checked up, and the house had once been used as a brothel. Next time they're for Bren, they put him on the table, because whenever Hasidim would show anything like any kind of holiness, if you weren't a Rebbe, you got it from your fellow Hasidim for trying to show off your spiritual powers. He says, No. This was nothing, believe me. No Ruach HaKodesh here whatsoever. I just had thoughts occurring to me that just never occurred to me. And I knew that they can't be coming from me, they must be coming from the place. In other words, Richard Masi wasn't the tzaddik, the Beinoni. But he was a person who was in control of his thoughts, so he knew what he would think and what would come from the outside. And when something bad came from the outside, he was aware of it. Anyway. So, a person should have an accounting of all his thoughts. Leomi also, from the day he was born, Ad Yom Hazeh, until the present time, Imkula Mitzarak Dusho Mitzarak Tumrach, if they came from the side of holiness or from the side of impurity. In other words, a person should check and look over his conduct. And not only his deeds, but even his thoughts. What is the author I've been doing here? As we said before, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And when a person realizes who he is and where he is, his heart is going to break and he's going to change. Remember we said last week, Hasidim don't have mussar svarim, they have mirrors. if you look at yourself honestly, when we look at ourselves and we appreciate who and what we are, what's the genuine nature of our relationship to God? Any separation is going to break us. How much make it hurt? It hurts. And then there's nothing more wholesome than a broken heart. When a person is able to face God openly with such contriteness, then, as we said before, going back to last week, where is God? Will you let him in? You create an opening for holiness to enter. And that's the purpose of this type of spiritual contemplation, this introspection. Create the opening to break yourself, and by breaking yourself, create an opening for the spirit of holiness to enter.